Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's honestly something that we have seen on tape. It's a common route around the league. But, you know, I want to give a shout-out to Al Holcomb, the linebacker's coach. He put it on tape a few times. You know, we've worked that play. Our offense runs that play. And, you know, he basically told me, like, if I see it, go.
Terrell Bernard on the interception of Tua. Shades of Kavika Mitchell against the Giants.
Wow.
You what? Like it? Do a you like pull. It or what?
How about, I got one.
What same yard line? Is it?
Yeah.
It's neighborhood. Similar.
How about Nick Barnett against the Eagles in 2011?
All right.
Huge pick.
Wait, Kavika Mitchell, was that not he was former Giant. Was that against the Chargers? Who was that against?
He was a former Giant.
So it might have been against the Chargers, not against the Giants. Kavika Mitchell pick over the middle.
All right.
Same end of the stadium.
Biggest linebacker picks in Bills history.
Let's do it.
Is that the top three? Bernard, Barnett, and
Alonso
Mitchell.
Against somebody. Bernard has had a bunch of those.
Carlton Bailey, of course, in the AFC Championship game in the 90s, when in a game that was like 10-7 or something.
Team to beat in the AFC. They're putting up on Get Up, Bills, Ravens, and two picks for the Chargers.
Two picks for the Chargers. I like the Chargers just fine.
Mike Tannenbaum earlier today said the Chargers are the most complete team in the AFC.
Part of me just wants to say, are we all falling for it again? I fall for it all the time. I always want to buy in that the Chargers are finally going to be actually great.
What would
and
count?
Every what? Year they fall on their face.
What would count? Winning a playoff game?
Yes.
Okay, that's it?
And winning the division. No, that or winning the division.
Division.
You got to do one of those two things.
You might have to do both.
You both
gotta,
to be great.
You have to do both to be real.
Right, because if they win the division and they lose to Kansas City in the first round, who's going to care?
Why are the Bills real? Because they win their division and playoff games.
Okay.
You have to win your division and a playoff game to be real. All right, well.
Or don't win your division and like go to the AFC Championship game.
Fair.
Like, you know what? What is real? Do what we always yell at the Bills for not doing in the playoffs. Beat Kansas City or I guess for them it would be Baltimore.
Beat a good quarterback?
Yeah. Go to the
Bills
playoffs.
Bills beat Baltimore, so that counts.
Right. But they didn't beat Cincinnati. So for them it would be, go beat Kansas City or go beat the Ravens or the Bills in a playoff game and I'll take you seriously.
Before we get to calls here, if we saw a Bills-Chargers matchup, start watching the Chargers, folks. Honestly, like, I know we all watch the Chiefs. They are not that impressive. They play on Sunday night this week against the Giants.
Yep.
Get yourself the Chargers Broncos. The Broncos are a team that should be 2-0.
They would be other than a penalty
took
on a 60-yard field.
That's right. They took a terrible penalty. Otherwise, it's two 2-0 teams meeting in one of the late games this weekend. But get your eyes to the Chargers. Start scouting because they're getting some love. And in a matchup of Bills-Chargers, let's just say I'd be worried about the secondary. Bills. I'd be really worried about
in that matchup.
They caught Ladd and Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnston. I'd be a little worried.
The one thing I will say, though, is the Chargers cannot run the ball right now.
Well, that's not troublesome for the Bills.
That
kind of plays well to the Bills. You know how when another team has a shutdown corner and like, well, congratulations, we don't have a number one receiver. If you say you don't run the ball well, it's like, well, congratulations. Like,
yeah.
We don't want to stop that anyway. We want to stop the pass.
But if that's the type of game the Bills want to drag an opponent into.
I don't think they could drag the Chargers into it. The Chargers are overexpected. Whatever. Let's get to Bills and Dolphins. Yeah. Anyway. 803-0550 to join us. And 1-888-550-2550. James Cook on pace for 300 carries and a 1,500-yard rushing season. If I gave
and more than
15, 16 touchdowns?
I think more than that.
If I gave you his last year yards per carry just with the uptick in carries, you're talking 1,500-yard season.
And then are we saying he's a bargain in a year? Someone going to say that in a year?
Joe in Lancaster. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Congrats to the Bills for, you know, they overcame injuries and Joe Brady's offensive play calling, which is awesome. You know, I think I have wrote out this whole list because I wanted to be so thoughtful and not waste your time. So I'm going to get rid of my analogy to the Bills play calling and golf. You know, we always know it's going to be a driver, maybe a 3-wood, maybe a 2-iron, but usually driver, right? So you said that Cook has 70% of the carries, and he's looking at going to be 300 carries. So I'm thinking that's like 210 plays that are going to be between the guard-center gap. You know, I've watched these Bills play for many years, and the repetitive theme here is that we want to load up the middle of the field on the first play of the each series, exactly where the defense knows we're going to go. It's like we've telegraphed this in steel, like we've burned it in. And it's so frustrating. Like, my swear jar is so full right now. You know, I'm going to be able to go down to Consumer Beverages and have a blast. I just don't know why we can't get Josh Allen either making the play call, since he's so good at reading defenses. He already makes awesome audible calls. Why can't we get Joe Brady out of the way so we can actually make this offense dynamic and utilize the talents that Josh has? Can somebody at that state, at you guys, somebody else, tell me, help me make sense of this, Joe and Jeremy?
Well, the easy way to make sense of it is they're winning a ton. If you want the offense to be different, it would need to lose. And they win all the time, and they don't turn the ball over. I do think that the, you know, zooming out, what you're talking about, Joe, is the first three quarters of the Ravens game, people talked like this. And in the first half of this game, people talked like this, which is, you have Josh Allen. When did you become this dink-dunk team? I had somebody send me a GIF of it. Is it Marlon Brando? Look what they did to my boy. Like, look what they did. The passing chart for Allen, it is, you know, it's driving a Ferrari 4 miles an hour around a track. Mm-hmm. It's very, very safe. What they run is safe, but...
And having everyone else crash in the race and you're the only one to finish.
Yeah. But I think that they do that in part because, A, it works, and the other part is when we need to pin the needle at 190 miles an hour, he can do that. But we just don't need him to do it all the time because that's a lot of wear on the engine and the tires and maybe a wreck and maybe... So... The Baltimore second half was a little bit of, maybe we can do this. Now, does that get them into trouble? It's very possible. You know, I had a bunch of texts last night, again, before the game is locked up. Like, are we about to have another conversation about receivers? And the answer to that question for me is always, we're never going to stop talking about it. Because, whatever, however you want to get to it, their offense is great.
Yeah.
They definitely can win the Super Bowl. When... Post-draft, Bean came on, and we kind of, whatever, went at it about the receiver investments. That was not a discussion about, you can't be good unless you have... It was just, I feel like you should invest in some other pieces to help, you know, keep this thing moving in the right direction. And the wide receiver point, I mean, they got one catch out of Palmer, a healthy scratch out of Samuel, and Elijah Moore will touch the ball twice, and we're like, all right! Like, they are a team that kind of wins without him. And if you want the Bills to wing, you know, wing the ball all over the field, I just don't think you're going to get that until they feel like they absolutely have to. And when they have to in a really important game, we'll see. They're either going to get the job done or they're not.
Yeah.
And I think there's reason to be concerned about Coleman doing that long term, Palmer doing that, but that doesn't mean they can't. So if you're looking for Allen to be the 2020 Josh Allen, I think that's just gone for a while. They like what they have here. I think he's bought in. They have total buy-in, and it works.
All right, you want to look at their first downs through three games? They've run 98 first down plays through three games so far. They have thrown the ball 39 times. They have 52 rush attempts. And If your concern is they're running it too much, what I will tell you is that James Cook on first down this year, 28 carries for 150 yards. It's 5.4 yards per
carry. Doing great.
So they're doing fine.
They're doing great.
I'm not saying they're all great. There are a couple of runs that, like yesterday, that maybe why they get stifled in the middle there is they go to James Cook on that first drive after the second half touchdown, and he gets 1 yard. And then it's incomplete, and then you're third and long, and you're punting. So that happened once yesterday, maybe even twice, but so far throughout the year, like, it's not been a big problem, unless you want to count Ray Davis, who's 2.2 carries. But I pointed out earlier, all that's a lot of that's Jets time when you're up by 30. So I think they're doing fine. I mean, Allen's – you want Allen on first down? 26 of 39, 266 yards and a touchdown. But so it's not like that's not also working.
Is this game script neutralized? Or
nope,
is it,
okay. This is everything.
Well,
That's the Ravens game?
The Baltimore game's going to have a ton of throwing.
Yeah, that's right.
They started throwing the ball, and they started doing a lot better. Anyway, 803-0550, our phone number. Thanks for the call. I think they've got a really good formula. It's tough to win all the games. It's tough to be the last team standing. Can they? I mean, I'll pull it up here. Ben Baldwin stats of, like, pass rate over expected. Okay? There's only one spot where they pass over expected in the entire down and distance breakdown. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is second and eight or more. You get them in second and eight, they're going to throw the ball. So let's break this down by every down and distance. The website that does this, rbsdm.com, you can look up millions of things like real deep analytics about what your team does, tendencies. He has all plays. First and 10, second and one or two, second and three or seven, third and eight or more, third and one or two, third and three or more, after you pass for a first down, after you run for a first down. There's really only one spot where they – it comes down to second down. One spot where they pass it more than you would think. And that is?
Second and long?
Sorry.
It's not second and short. We know it's not second and short.
I'm just making sure I'm reading the chart right. They pass it. No, it's second and eight, right. Second and eight, they are passing it more than most teams. Mm-hmm. Second and short, they are running it more than most teams. Minus 16% pass frequency. And everywhere else, they're a neutral team. Like, they are a run team. And that wins them a lot of games. They're super efficient. Not a criticism, just a reality. That's what they are. Sometimes you want to, I feel this, sometimes you want to see, hey, hold on, ready? Let's press the button. Let's order the code red, where we decide, today, we're going to see if we can throw for 405 touchdowns. And then they do it. And you think, all right, it's in the bag. I got that club in the bag. When I need it, I can use it. This game, if you want to be troubled by anything, I mean, Miami didn't even have a starting secondary period. Never mind good players. These guys are just all backups. And nobody down the field is available in spots they like it. Or Josh just wants to play it safe. Like,
I guess that's where my surprise is, though, that they didn't decide. It's why they're arguably the best team in football. It's because they can hit almost any club and still win the game. You know, it's Tiger in his prime. Have him hit a 7-iron and you hit your driver. He's still probably going to win. But it was weird to me that they didn't decide this was the game
to throw it.
That team was ready to get taken out back. And a big reason why is it's been called the worst secondary in the NFL in 25 years.
They've given up a higher percentage of drives to scores than any other team in, like, the last 20 years.
Right, so if there ever was a game where you would think, all right, this is the day where they pull that club out and they just start ripping it all over the place on that defense, this would have been the opponent to do that, and they decided, no, we don't need it.
Right. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. I had something else I was going to mention there, but I forget what it was, so I'm sure it'll come back. Mike in Lakeview. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hi, guys. I have one question. On Miami's first drive, they had a third down and four.
Mm-hmm.
Hill caught a pass and bobbled it. It seemed that he had only 1 foot in. Whose fault or responsibility it is to let McDermott throw a challenge flag? Thanks.
Yeah. They must not have got the call down fast enough to challenge it.
John Perry works in their booth, right? They have
the
others.
Dolphins
so
went kind of quick.
They went quick.
Kind of quick.
Actually, I think they ran the play clock close to. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. I thought it was not. I didn't think it was a hurry. Yeah, a hurry up. I just thought that they were. You know. All right, let's.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that. So it would be two. It would be the Bills' operation for not calling down the challenge, and I also think Sky Judge absolutely needs to call down and say, hey, like that's one of those. That's an obvious miss. Like they had on in the second half where Miami was short of the sticks, and they go after a replay assistant. It's first down. And that took 4 seconds, and now we got the call right. This was a play where you would think, hey, the guy upstairs can call down to the ref and just say, within 10 seconds, that was not a catch. And then the ref announces, actually, that wasn't a catch, and they're punting.
Yep.
That should have happened. So that's a miss by them. And they miss sometimes, not right, as often as the regular refs.
It's a great example, though, of the iniquity of the Sky Judge. It used to be it's on the coach to challenge it. Now it's more of a, we'll catch it when we can. They catch a first down that they got wrong and move that. They didn't catch this one. So like, oh, okay. Now I'm just kind of signing up for the randomness of which the Sky Judge does see and which doesn't.
Which really, like, the point I always like to make on that, though, is that's not any different from how we've always done things. The only difference is the guy upstairs now is inconsistent versus the guy that's on the field. And the inconsistency upstairs isn't the same. So it really isn't different. It's just the guy, because refs get calls wrong all the time. This is a ref. He's just sitting up in a booth. And he got the call wrong. So that happens too, I guess.
Paul on the west side. Hey, Paul.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great win last night. Go Bills. But I'll get straight to my guillotine question. I can't decide on my second flex spot. I got Steph Diggs versus Pittsburgh, Hollywood Brown at the Giants, Romeo Doubs at Cleveland, and Juwan Johnson at Seattle.
I mean, it's hard not to start Juwan Johnson right now. So he is like the number one pass catching option in New Orleans.
Okay.
So
is Hollywood Brown healthy?
No, he's banged up. I mean, he's going to play, but yeah, he's banged up. He could guillotine. That's not the type of player you like to play in guillotine, where he already has an injury and he leaves games early all the time, because he could leave the game in the first quarter and you get a zero and your season's over.
Right.
So I would not start Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, there were. Dobbs
and Johnson. I'd start Johnson. I'll pick the tight end, I guess.
Okay.
I'm in a tight end mood today. The Bills beating me into it with the not even 12 personnel, 13 personnel.
Up next, John. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning. You guys really got me going with the Kawika Mitchell linebacker.
Do we ever figure out which game it was or what the opponent was? We think it was the Chargers?
I'm looking at it right now. It was Chargers 07. Do you remember it was actually a game?
The power outage game, yeah.
Power outage game. Yeah.
Okay.
Vividly remember that game, and also wanted to throw out a John McCargo big interception here against Romo that heart-wrenching Monday nighter.
Okay.
Same side of the field, too. It was a huge interception in that fourth quarter. I think we picked Romo off like 4 or 5 times in the game, Trent Edwards just like
did
couldn't
John
move
the ball DiGiorgio get one of those picks?
Yes, he did, because they're the call.
It's not delivery, it's DiGiorgio.
Yeah, Tirico, yeah. I think, made that call.
That's right.
I'm sorry, it was DiGiorgio,
yes.
Not John McCargo.
Yes, beautiful.
Sorry. I deeply apologize for that. No, just wanted to mention, if you look back and like, Tua is like dropping back to pass, and you can see it in his eyes and his body language. It's just, he looks like he takes a snap and just can't wait to throw a check down. It just seems like this is kind of what he does, and it's just a much different offense than what it was in, years ago, where they could sort of sling it down the field. His body language, everything about him just kind of seems like, he doesn't want to take a hit. There was some times he was able to move around a little bit, throw it a little bit downfield, but that alarming stat they threw up where like his average completion something, it could be getting this wrong, was like minus half a yard backwards. And it's just like, this is, I don't know anything about X's and O's, never played football in my life, but I feel like I can sense what Miami's offense is doing. It's like, let's just have Tyreek Hill and Waddle run as far as they can downfield and then just leave Achane or Malik Washington alone in the flat and just dump it to them. It's like, it seems as simple as that every time we play them, and they don't do anything different.
I did see Jeremy Fowler tweet out last night that he said that from talking to people with the Bills, he said the Bills felt the Dolphins' offensive game plan was a departure from previous matchups, more of a ball control offense, keep Josh Allen off the field. I didn't really get that sense the game. Their only real long drive, it felt like, was the end of the half one, which sure, like, there you did a good job of keeping Allen off the field at the end of a half, but was that their entire game plan?
Their first drive was the same. I mean, they got...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a return to like near midfield, but after the return, it was a long 9-play drive to go half the field.
Yeah.
So I mean, sometimes I feel like we overstate whether or not that was the goal or just what happened. Like if they could have scored in 2 plays because they broke a tackle, they would have loved to. I don't know. Thanks for the phone call. Kavika Mitchell, the pass was intercepted at the 9-yard line against the Chargers in 2008.
It's pretty big.
They're already up 9 points. I think I saw they were already up 9.
When he picked it off? That's not that big.
No.
Two-score game?
Wait. They're up 6.
Very different.
They're up 6. Kavika Mitchell, interception at the 9, and then they go on to win 23-14. That was Trent Edwards' last stand that game.
Yeah. Bernard is tweeted this last night. He is completely the bizarro Tremaine Edmonds.
Splash plays?
No consistency, but splash plays. Versus Edmonds, who was giving you only consistency and zero splash plays. Total opposite.
Get a break in. 803-0550. More of your phone calls. If you can hang with us, we can get to you. It's Jeremy and Joe on Football Friday here on WGR. Mr. Paul Hamilton going to join us here. We get his thoughts on last night's game. And then a very quick check-in is the Sabres have a preseason game on Monday. They've been practicing, and no one got hurt in the first practice, unlike last year.
The vibes are better.
Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Although Lukanen and Tuck got hurt before practice started.
Technicality, Paul. Paul, how'd you enjoy last night's game before we get to a quick check-in on the Sabres?
Well, the Bills made it interesting, and I'm sure you guys have already spoken about it. The third down defense was extremely concerning when I'm sitting there at halftime and seeing, well, the Bills were 3-for-4, which is good, but the Dolphins were 8-for-10 on third down defense. Now, there are guys who are missing from the Bills lineup. You could arguably say they're missing their two best defensive players in Oliver and Milano. They got a couple of guys who are midway through their suspensions, which you would think are going to help the defense when they are back. And they are short, but you know they had a good game against the Jets. They did not have a good game in the games 1 and 3. But I don't know if I want to sit there and say it's concerning just from the fact there are a lot of guys who aren't there who are going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big part of it. And the Bills have now 10 days off until they get to the Saints game. And, Joe, how many times, Paul, will the Sabres play between now and then?
I think it's four?
Four
it's
games? Definitely... All right. We get most of the Sabres preseason just like in this little gap here. So, you know, off and running towards the October 9th opener against the Rangers.
We get it started tomorrow with a scrimmage. So, they're already on the ice. They just finished. Now they're doing one-on-ones, but they just finished doing some breakout work. Breakout and then into the offensive zone for some forechecking. So, you know, here on gate two, they're already into those types of things. And Lindy Ruff spoke yesterday about, especially in the second period, remember how Buffalo gave up a lot of goals in the second period last year, and they would give them up in a hurry. And he said they really did a lot of analysis on that during the offseason and have changed some things in their defense, especially in the second period, to account for those changes. So you change at the right time. You don't leave the goaltenders hanging out with bad changes. And that's going to be part of their philosophy to try to make this team better defensively, is especially in the second period, you know, what they were doing wrong and how they can do it better.
Paul, are we at a point yet where we're getting line combinations for the Sabres?
Yes, but the thing is, don't forget, Tuck is not in this combination. So
right.
Benson was with Norris and Thompson. Quinn is with Kulik and Doan. Zucker is with McLeod and Danforth, and Gerkson is with Krebs and Malenstein. The defense is just the way you would expect it to be. Byram and Dahlin, Samuelson and Timmins, Power, Kesselring, Jones, Bryson.
If you had to guess, would Tuck most likely go where Doan is right now? Okay.
Yes, and then I think Doan would might slip into where Danforth is. Don't forget Greenway is not in there either. They're expecting him maybe to be ready by the first game. He had to have a second surgery in July. He suffered a setback from the surgery that he had when we were still here with the team last year. So he is still recovering from that. He is skating. I mean, I saw him over at Harbor Center skating on his own when we were over there. They're hoping to have him back by game one. So he would be in that lineup too. So Doan and Danforth, I think Greenway would probably be where Danforth is with McLeod and Zucker. And then Tuck would be where Doan is with Kulik and Quinn. That would take Gertsen out of the lineup and probably drop Doan there.
Okay. In terms of battles, Paul, like, what do we really have? We have maybe a spot at the bottom of the roster. There's the goaltending part of this, but the Luukkonen injury complicates that. And then is there one in the top six? You just mentioned Benson and Quinn there. Like, would you expect they're just going to ride into the regular season given those opportunities, or could Zucker take it from them or anybody else?
I was having a conversation with a fan on Twitter yesterday, and really there's a top three. There's a top three, and there's an energy line. And then there's Kulik, Doan, and Quinn, and then there's McLeod, Zucker, and Danforth. I could sit here and say, well, last year Zucker had 21 goals, McLeod had 20, so that's your, quote, second line. Or I could say Kulik really did well when he was playing with Thompson up on the top line. And, you know, Quinn, through it all, still had 15 goals last year. I mean, I think a lot of people maybe forget that. So, you know, you could make a case. Then we could sit here and make a case for them being the second line. So I don't think they really – I think they have a top line, they have two lines, and then they have an energy line is, I think, the way to look at it right now, because in my mind, there's still spots available for top six forwards. This is the third off season now where they haven't been able to acquire a top six forward, and they actually traded one away. Now they got, you know, good return and are going to be better defensively, which they have to be. You can't be 29th in goals against and be in the playoffs and be well. So they do have to be better defensively, but I still think there are holes there, and that's why I don't even know if I can call it a top six right now as we're in training camp.
Paul, on Quinn, is there a bit of a bet on him here, and is he in better shape? I'm seeing he scored his second goal last year on December 15th. Like, he did come along a little bit later, but it was a terrible start for him.
Yeah, Lindy Ruff was talking about he got a clip of him deadlifting. And I don't remember what the amount of weight he was doing. I won't.
4,000 pounds. Let's just guess.
But Lindy said he was like, wow. I mean, he said he really was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And they have a new strength and conditioning coach. Thompson came in and was with him for 2 months over the summer. Mm-hmm. He had him at the World Championship, and he was here July and August working with this guy. So the players seem to be taking to this guy. And, you know, according to Lindy Ruff, Jack Quinn took the offseason very, very seriously. And I'm not trying to say he didn't before. I wasn't with him. I don't know. But I know he did this past offseason. So if he's stronger. I mean, he's way too easy to knock off the puck. We all know that. So if he's stronger and is better in front of the net, where he's not as easy to move out of there, you know, he has an elite shot. As I said, he still wound up with 15 goals as poorly as I thought he played last year.
And then Benson, Paul, like, if he's with Norris and Thompson, you mentioned like it's a top line and then maybe like a middle six. That's a big opportunity for him, and he does a lot of things well. I guess that would be a big opportunity for him to not only just play well, but would score, right? Because he hasn't put the points up yet.
When you have a conversation on Twitter, you can't really explain yourself, and people were misunderstanding what I was meaning with Benson when I was saying it wouldn't kill him to go down to Rochester. And what I'm trying to say with that is if you have Benson in your top six, you need more than 28 points. You need double that. And that's where I think he could really blossom is in his offense. I have no problem with Benson as a player. I mean, his forecheck, the tenacity he has, the way he wins battles. I have no – but, you know, the way he plays makes him a bottom six guy. He has scored and had points in every league that he's ever played in. And that's where I was thinking a little time in Rochester might give him some offensive confidence and help him maybe on the pro level see the puck go in the net a few times and then maybe be able to carry that into the NHL, because I certainly think he could be a scorer in the National Hockey League, but he's been in the NHL since he was 18. So that's what I mean. I don't mean that he's an AHL player or he's a bad player or it should be a penalty to him or anything like that. I'm just thinking from a development standpoint, maybe he could develop his offense a little better if he spent a little time down there.
Thank you, Paul. We'll check in Monday for sure, right? Preseason game number one. We'll start to talk with you regularly, which means I'll just text you at 7
Paul's
o'clock.
Paul's like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, I've missed you guys. I mean, it's been a little while. So, we talked when Levi signed, and that was basically the only time we've talked. So I've missed you guys.
I've never done it, but I've always been tempted to text out a screenshot of our conversations, because it really is just like 7 a.m. okay, 7 a.m. okay, 7 okay, 8 okay, 7:30 sure. Like, Joe, look at this. I'll show the chat on the screen. Like, it's just that's the whole conversation.
I do like that Paul threw a sure in there. Yeah, it's not the same thing every time.
Occasionally, there's an anything is good. There's a yes. There's an okay.
Yeah.
Or I get the one at 5:50, and you know I'm not up.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're like, all right. If you're awake at 8, could we do 8? I tell you guys, well, call me. I mean, because when you say let's do 8, I set my alarm.
I know.
So what's the difference if I set my alarm
versus we call?
Or you guys call me, which would be like my alarm too. So I just say if it's, you know, you decide you want me at 8, you forgot to tell me, just give me a call. Listen, I don't need much time. All I need is enough time to turn the equipment on, and I'm ready to go.
Paul, there's a lot of ways that I don't live up to Howard's legacy, but the number one thing I don't do is remember to text you and Sal at night. I sit down in this chair, and I'll be like, oh, God.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Seven. Like, it's every day. Thank you, Paul.
All right, take
care. Every day. I'm just like, oh, and he'll text me, like, what's Al on today? When's Paul? I'm like,
At some point.
Just, yeah. You know, we'll figure it out. All right, Extendo Sports. We got time here. Robin, Connecticut first. Oh, you got something?
No, go ahead. Okay, I was saying, Extendo, we could do like a very fast, super great American football frenzy.
Love it. Rob, what's up?
Hey, Jeremy and Joe. I was telling Joe that you guys, you know, when we have games like we did last night, I was saying to myself, I love the fact that you have a great job, but I don't envy the fact that you have to wake up the next morning and listen to some of the complaining. You know, as a fan last night, I think what it was for me last night was I think I expected too much from coming off last week as far as the defense. I knew we were going to be all right. And, you know, of course I want to be satisfied. I just don't want to have that rich people's mentality, like, spoiled with them. And, you know, I expected too much from the defense. I was hoping that we would get that sack. I just couldn't understand why we didn't create more pressure. against Tua, and that was my only complaint. Other than that, I mean, we're going to be fine. And I just don't envy you guys in the morning. I mean, I told Joe, do you guys, your ears bleed?
No. I think it is justified. I think, thanks, Rob. I think it is totally normal, acceptable, justified. We're talking Super Bowl. We're not talking, you know, happy to win, happy to be here. This is great. It's wonderful. We all lived through the drought. Mm-hmm. Now we don't live there anymore. Now we don't talk moral victories as much. Now it's real honest to goodness. What'd you think? I my ears don't bleed. When do my ears bleed?
Rules analyst conversations.
Those. I mean, maybe like put Josh Allen back there to bat down a Hail Mary.
Oh, those are always like those are ones, always good.
Those ones are tough.
I mean, that's not the worst
thing. Even then, I think if you are upset with something that happened in a game that you won, you are the same as the players. It's the point I always want to make. What do you think the Bills do for the next 24 hours? Talk about what could have gone better. You want to watch every single television show that says, no, this team and this community are so tightly wound and so tightly connected. That's right. So much so that after they win, we're like, all right, what could have been better? It's normal. I don't have any problem with it if anybody doesn't. Even if I think you go too far, or if you think I go too far, or not far enough. Like it's I think it's normal.
Just so you know, if a team's throwing a Hail Mary in the Super Bowl and with a second to go on the clock, Josh Allen will be on that field to knock it down.
What?
He absolutely will be.
Is that a bet board?
Yeah, 100%.
Why will he be out there?
Packers, Bills, Super Bowl. The Bills are up by 5. Packers are at the 50. There's 1 second on the clock.
What?
I will bet you anything you want, Josh Allen is marching onto that field to go stand at the goal line and knock it down.
Because they won't be able to stop him?
He and Keon Coleman, like, they're tall. Hey, their tallest, most athletic offensive players will go out there, and he's on that list.
All I want you
He's going out there. You guarantee he's going out there. Totally.
You know why?
He'll knock it down, too.
You know why Keon Coleman will be out there?
Well, because he's just going to jump super high and he's going to
get a rim shot. You know why Keon Coleman will be out there?
Why?
Because the defender will be all over him. It's a separation joke. It's fine. I think Keon's doing just fine.
We're doing separation jokes.
It's fine. I think Keon Coleman's doing just fine. One thing on him very quickly before Extend on Sports. He went for 8 for 112 on a touchdown in the opener. And it was, whoa, is this the new? No, I don't think it is. I think if you know what Coleman is supposed to be, you won't be mad about it. You know, same kind of thing where after that game, like, what's he going to go for, 1,700 yards? If he does, that's great.
Right, but he won't.
I definitely don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's a usage thing. I think that, you know, they're going to put him in position to win the way that he wins. Same with Jackson Hawes. Same with a lot of players that they have. They know what they're doing over there. We might not always agree with how they're approaching what they should do, but they're pretty good at knowing what they're doing. 803-0550. That's the phone number. All right. A very fast, super great American Football Friday frenzy in Extendo Sports. And then we hand it off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Football.
Super, super, great, great American Football Friday frenzy.
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
Love that. That's the message, Mike Tomlin. Don't blink.
If you blink, cut your eyelids off.
What is it? The best of all time. It's a Thursday game, so Football Friday frenzy gets shortened to about a minute. Ready, set, go. Okay.
The Panthers-Falcons game is blowing my mind during the break because the lines moved 6 points without a quarterback injury. Carolina opened a 1.5 favorite. They're now a 5.5-point underdog. Everyone hates the Panthers, I guess.
Cincinnati, Minnesota, Jake Browning, Carson Wentz. No thanks. Pittsburgh at New England.
Low scoring.
That's a good one. If New England wins, remember, I think they play the Panthers next week. New England could come here in 2 weeks, a game back.
Yep.
I kind of want to root for that.
Yep.
I really kind of do. Houston at Jacksonville. Indy, Tennessee. Denver and the Chargers, I think, is the Bills fan game to watch this week.
I really like, for non-Bills rooting interest part, I love Rams-Eagles this week. That was a close game in the divisional round. That's in Philadelphia, so I'm into that one.
I'm going to go with Rams to take that one in Philly. Give me the Rams.
Yeah.
Jets at Tampa. Creamsicle uniforms for Baker and the Bucks.
Yep.
Green Bay at Cleveland. Vegas at Washington. Atlanta, Carolina. Dallas at Chicago. Most of the country gets to see the Bears.
Yep.
I don't know if that's going to be good for you all out there. Arizona, San Francisco in the late window. And then the primetime games, Sunday Night Football is Giants-Chiefs. And then Monday Night Football is Lions-Ravens.
Go Lions.
Yes.
Lions and Giants. If you could get the Giants and the Lions to win this weekend, oh, everyone's going to be on cloud nine on Monday.
You might want the Chargers to lose even more.
Yeah, maybe.
The number one game you should want is Denver over L.A. You want the AFC West to kind of get muddled up.
Yep.
All right, we're gone. And the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way. Thanks to everybody who text, called, listened, everything. You know, we had a good time today. Enjoy your weekend off. I feel like I'm giving everybody the weekend off, right? No Bills game.
Yeah.
Where the teacher's saying, all right, you know what? No homework. We'll see you Monday. Victory Friday.
Although you have Arsenal and City come on Sunday, so you've got
to. I do.
It's a different class.
Does Liverpool play and annoy the entire world?
They'll beat Everton tomorrow in the 93rd minute, yeah. And I can't wait to put it in the group chat when you all wake up to
so,
it.
So excited for that. It'll be great. I'm sure Everton will be down to 9 men. And you'll need like 17 minutes of stoppage time. It's fine. It's great.
First place.
See you Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.